5 years ago, their album Mirage seemed to spell the end of the group and the start of solo careers, most notably for Stevie Nicks.
I did it because I needed another outlet. I have way too much material to be in a band with five people, three of which write, and every couple of years be able to give two or three songs. It's not enough for me.
But now Fleetwood Mac is back in grand style with her new album, Tango in the Night, climbing the charts.
I know in my heart that there's never going to be another situation like Fleetwood Mac. Day by day.
Hey, you're listening to Day by Day Fleetwood Mac, day 14, about their 14th studio album, Tango in the Night, came out in April of 1987. Produced by Lindsey Buckingham and Richard Dashett again. A lot of what ends up on this album started as a Lindsey Buckingham solo album, while Lindsey's contributions. There's several hit singles here and a couple singles that flopped. Stevie Nicks' contributions to this album are minimal. She's got a booming solo career. By this time, she's got, what, three hit solo albums. She was all over MTV with Stand Back and Talk to Me, and she was an MTV star in her own right, you know. So Stevie's solo career was booming between Mirage and Tango in the Night, and so that's obviously the reason why she hardly even seems to have given a shit about this album. And also, I mean, I think the story is she was so deep into drugs, into cocaine, and a mess also. Yeah, this album is, it's produced by Lindsey, and it's Fleetwood Mac's real 80s album. Mirage doesn't feel that 80s. This is their 80s piece of work. And, you know, Lindsey has had another solo album before this as well, of a pretty weird album that I like called Go Insane. That wasn't a huge success for him. Christine had a solo album as well. Yeah, this is like a last gasp of this lineup, and it was a big hit. This was a much bigger hit album than Tusk or Mirage. I think it has sold like 7 million copies in the U.S., so the cover art is a painting by an Australian artist named Brett Livingstone Strong that I guess Lindsey had hanging in his home, and then comes the album cover here. Maybe that was going to be the album cover of his solo album. The title track, Tango in the Night, was, you know, Lindsey's solo song before he ended up giving it to the band. I don't know if that would have been the name of the Lindsey solo album. I think a lot of this is real studio creation. You know, it doesn't much feel like a band. Stevie Nicks was, I guess, only there for 2 weeks. She was in the middle of promoting her third solo record, Rock a Little. Actually, a couple songs she submitted for the album were rejected by the band. But, you know, she was probably saving her best stuff at that point for her solo career. Interestingly, I think the real reason this album even exists is because of the work Lindsey Buckingham put into it. And then he's going to be the one to quit the band afterwards. And I don't know if all of that contributes, you know. I don't know if Lindsey had resentment over Stevie's solo success. I don't know if Lindsey had resentment that he was doing all the work, probably. I don't know if, you know, Lindsey just wanted to do his own thing. You know, it takes him 5 more years after this, I think, to even put out another solo album. And then, you know, that's the only solo album he even releases in the 90s. He doesn't really, you know, jumpstart his solo career until years later. Lindsey becomes kind of a recluse, I think, for a period of time. And yeah, but this is the second best-selling Fleetwood Mac album after Rumors, just based on they had some big hit songs on here and got a lot of MTV play as well. The album only peaked at number 7 on the Billboard charts. So let's get into it.
Tango
Tango in the Night opens with a song from Lindsey Buckingham called Big Love. All right, so this is a brilliant song. Now, this is an example where we get both. We get the amazing studio creation that Lindsey Buckingham built in the studio, but we also know the amazing solo acoustic version of this song that Lindsey can do. It's hard to say which version is better. They're very different, but it's interesting to note that as much as Lindsey built something like this in the studio, he can also perform it, just him and an acoustic guitar, and just blow your mind. Which shows what an amazing artist he is, just with a guitar, by himself, and also in the studio. So this song is a perfect example of the multifaceted genius that is Lindsey Buckingham. I don't know about the lyrics, but in terms of the arrangement and the production and the melody, this is an amazing piece of work, and it was all over MTV, and it's inventive and creative and cool and a killer hit single from Lindsey Buckingham, Big Love. Second song on the album, Seven Wonders. So this song was written by Sandy Stewart, and Stevie Nicks contributed like one lyrical change, which I think she just accidentally misheard a name in the demo. But then she gets a songwriting credit, even though she had nothing to do with writing the song, basically. And it's a decent song if they were going for a hit single in the 80s. Interesting percussion, which is very prominent in the mix. It's a decent song. I like it well enough, and it was a top 20 hit. Third song on the album, sung from Christine McVie, called Everywhere. You know, it's interesting to hear these artists trying to create pop music for the 80s, mid to late 80s. This is a really good song from Christine, with cool minimalist production, very subtle guitar work from Lindsey that I guess was built with effects on acoustic guitars mixed with electric guitars. So Lindsey being very creative and meticulous in the studio to do something that's very subtle, but a lot of work went into it. And a very nice chorus. So this is a laid back and simple song, but very nice pop single that was also a top 20 hit. Fourth song on the album, a song by Lindsey Buckingham called Caroline. A weird, dark song, kind of droning, I don't like the chorus at all. So this is one of my least favorite songs Lindsey Buckingham ever did with Fleetwood Mac. Fifth song on the album, the title track, Tango in the Night. So after his second solo album, Go Insane, Lindsey started working on what would have been his third solo album. And this was one of the songs that he was working on for that album. It's atmospheric, kind of dark. It's a cool song, but I can't say I love it. It's very weird, very Lindsey, but it's a Lindsey solo song. Not a Fleetwood Mac song, if that makes sense. It's, yeah. Last song on side one, a song by Christine Ann Lindsey called Mystified. This is really a boring, sappy ballad. It's not bad, but I don't want to listen to it. And actually, the chorus sucks.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them? was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Flipping the record over, side two begins with a Christine McVie pop single, brilliant pop single, written with her husband at the time, Eddie Quintela, or Quintela, called Little Lies. Yeah, brilliant pop song, killer production. Lindsey Buckingham's vocal contributions are very cool. The chorus is killer. Christine really delivered for this album with Everywhere and this song. She was vital to this album working at all. And this was a top 10 hit, went to number 4. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. Second song on side two, a song from Lindsey Buckingham called Family Man. An interesting song. I do like it, but it's pretty strange. It doesn't really have a great chorus. I'm a huge Lindsey Buckingham fan, obviously, but this is not a favorite. Actually, interestingly enough, I prefer the song that ended up on the B-side of this single, a non-album track called Down Endless Street, which is much more of just a pop song. Third song on side two, Stevie Nicks recycling what, in my opinion, was her worst song from Tusk, Sarah. I guess Stevie had three other songs that she submitted demos for the album, Ooh My Love, Juliet, and Joan of Arc, that were rejected. So if I'm going to criticize Stevie for her contributions or lack thereof to this album, I guess I have to take into account that she submitted three songs that were rejected, but her first contribution, Seven Wonders, she didn't write, and this song was already on Tusk, so what the fuck. Fourth song on side two, another song Christine wrote with her husband and also Lindsey. Pretty good 80s sounding song called Isn't It Midnight. Nice driving beat. But, I mean, considering the last song was a rehash of a previous song, it's hard to call this filler. But, you know. Yeah. Fifth song on side two is Stevie Nicks' only real contribution to the album since she didn't write Seven Wonders and Sarah was an old song. This is a song called When I See You Again. It's an effective ballad. I like it, but it also seems like she could have written this in 5 minutes. There's not much to it. It did not need to be 4 minutes long. Very nice vocal contributions from Lindsay and a nice acoustic guitar solo. I guess I'm kind of a sucker for this, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like Stevie put in a whole lot of effort here. So she walks slowly down the hall. There are many doors in the hallway. And she stares at the stairs. Ooh, there are many things to stare at these days. Last song on the album, written by Lindsay and Christine, an aggressively upbeat pop song called You and I Part 2. This is fine. I don't love it. It doesn't feel like a Lindsay song. I mean, he co-wrote it with Christine. I guess if I'm being honest, I don't think I like it. Not as a Lindsay Buckingham song, at least. It's too basic and obvious. But it's not terrible. But yeah, looking at this album, Stevie's not involved, really, at all. Lindsay basically just gave them stuff that he was going to put on a solo album. So the MVP for sure of this album is Christine. With Everywhere and Little Lies, she really delivered a couple of hit singles that they really needed. Obviously, Lindsay's genius with Big Love. But after that, I'm not a huge fan of the rest of Lindsay's songwriting contributions here. But you know, immediately following the release of the album, I mean, they didn't even tour with Lindsay for this album. He quit the band, but they sold a lot of copies of this, and it was a big success at the same time, which is very interesting. It just goes to show they're still riding on the name Fleetwood Mac, and here they are 10 years later, they're still capitalizing on the success of Rumors. Really good material. Big Love, Little Lies, legitimate hit songs. But this is not an album. So what's going to happen next? Lindsay Buckingham's out of the band. What are they going to do next? How are they going to replace Lindsay? We will find out tomorrow when we talk about, oh boy, Behind the Mask. Hoping tomorrow.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Jabbers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.